You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Foss Last Plumpton, and also Fairy House is also racing on the Fiver Sand at Suddle, and another Irish card from Cork. You'll hear every race live from 1:35 p.m. on Racing Radio on Sunday with Alex Dunn, Paddy Aspel and Rory Delaghi in the studio. My name is Sam Norris, and joining me on Sunday's edition of the podcast, it's a warm welcome to James Millman. How are you, James?
Very well, thank you, Sam.
Good stuff. The yard are going well lately, James?
Yeah, no, they've had a good start to the season. I think weather's been a little bit milder, perhaps, down the West Country. They seem to be very thawed. And yeah, they've had four winners in the first couple of weeks, so all good.
Am I right in thinking last season started in a similar vein? Did you have a good start to last season?
Sir Roderick won earlier on last year. Same race what Sir Plato won at Windsor the other day. I think they were quite as forward as what they were this year. But a good start so far.
Is that what it comes down to then? Just milder conditions? Is
that a little bit? Just the horses are that much better in their coats.
Yeah.
Because generally the West Country is a little bit warmer than, especially up north.
Yeah.
And Newmarket can be bitterly cold, so I think they are a little bit further forward just because of that. And there's been no frosts or no waterlogging either, so they've been able to keep on going. So Touchwood have had a good start to the season. Unfortunately, a few of them have won by a little bit too far in the hand. It's crucifying them, and you can only win so many races.
You're never satisfied, are you, James?
No, you want to win by a short head every single time, and then you can keep on going. But I think Sir Plato won by 4 and a bit length, so that's not good. You don't want to be winning by that. Restricts your opportunities.
Yep, that's fair enough. It's the nature of the beast, though, isn't it, James?
Yeah, but the jockey should make sure that they just win, and they need to sort that out.
There's only one way to sort that out. You're gonna have to return to the saddle, James.
And I've just seen a loose 2-year-old on my TV screen, so yeah, we don't need to return to the saddle. But they're just winning a bit too far at the minute. It's not ideal.
Okay, let's have a little look back as well on the action from Good Friday. Cracking days racing as ever at Lingfield. We'll look at a few of the big races, beginning with the sprint where Kimberella was a nice winner for Richard Fahey and Paul Hannigan. Just sort of got on terms with him in the closing stages, James, but from about half a furlong out, always looked as though he was going to come and win his race.
Yeah, definitely. And there's two, actually, ex-Dian Nicholls horses that won on Good Friday. Kimberella had a cracking season last year for Dandy, now in the care of a Richard Fahey. That's two from two. So he won a 5-furlong conditions race on the yard debut and won nicely yesterday, to be fair. Picked up really well. Paul Hannigan cementing his relationship back with Richard Fahey. That was a good effort, and certainly did it very, very well. Very impressed. Lancelot de Lac, last year's or runner-up, I think, twice in the race. He's only managed fourth this year, so probably a high-quality renewal, and it was good to see.
Yeah, Gracious John's bounced back to form a little bit. He was a bit of a superstar in the all-weather last season. Hadn't quite gone to plan so far this year, but good to see him get back to something like his best.
Yeah, the 3-year-old division's normally a little bit weaker on the weather during the winter, and he dominated that last year. But against the elders, it was a good effort. There's some cracking races, a real competitive sprint yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's look at the all-weather mile championships as well. Sovereign Debt will have been a very popular winner for Ruth Carr. I think she saddled two or three winners on the day.
Three on the day. Yeah, two as well up in the north yesterday at Newcastle. But no, Sovereign Debt, again, Danny's last winner in Qatar, two starts back. Third on debut for Ruth, and winning very nicely. James Sullivan actually gave him a cracking ride, having exactly the right place and produced him at just the right time, because Namir was flying at the end and would have got up in another stride. So he ran at a cracker, the Lincoln trial winner. He had a fair bit to find at the weights. But I know Sovereign Debt, a big winner there for Ruth Carr. And he'd, I'd say, second start for the yard. But just kept the old boy in good form.
Yeah, definitely. The 3-year-old race then, that went the way of Second Thought for William Haggis. And that was one that was well back throughout the day. Was sent off the 11-8 favourite and came in the closing stages to land the spoils. As you mentioned, this is generally one of the weaker races on Championship Day. What do you make of him?
He's a nice type. He was not didn't have a great deal of room in Second Thought, so he's definitely better than the Bayer result. But he's been winning some average enough races in the winter. He's going to have to improve to treble the best on turf. But it may be a straight turf track certainly suits him better. So certainly keep an eye on him.
And finally then, the Easter Classic went the way of Convey for Ryan Moore and Sir Michael Stout, just getting the better of of Absolute Blast. Another one that was sent off favourite, and another well-timed ride by Ryan Moore.
Yeah, and in exactly the right place. But Convey is a very, very classy individual. Sir Michael Stout's first ever runner at the meeting. He doesn't really do all weather racing. The winter he goes to Barbados or wherever. But no, Sir Michael Stout, first run at the meeting, and Convey had been targeted for this contest. He won the Winter Derby and had the man on top, Ryan Moore, always well placed and quick at exactly the right time. He was impressive. 111, great to see that kind of quality. Actually, the ratings of the winners of the races, 104 Winning Story, 107 Rialtra, 107 Kimberella, 110 Sovereign Debt, 105 Second Fort, and 111 Convey. So real high quality stuff, to be fair. It's working, having a better class of horse running through the winter. And a few people had a bit of a whinge when Good Friday first came out, but I think everyone's accepted it now, and it's some really good racing.
Yeah, definitely great to see a couple of French riders come over to contest the Easter Classic as well. That can only be a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. They actually had a winner either last year or two seasons ago in one of the races, and they were third and sixth respectively in the Classic there. Alain Henry ran a cracker to finish third, and he's picked up nearly £20,000. So as well worth him coming over.
Yep, it definitely was. That's Lingfield taken care of then. Other things that have been in the news lately, James, TV ratings down for the Grand National. It's all a bit doom and gloom again.
Doom and gloom, a bit like the outlook I have on life. But
any rhyme or reason?
Well, they actually had a higher audience share percentage.
Yeah.
And if you remember, the sun was shining. And when the sun comes out, especially the first bit of sun we've seen, I think it was hotter than Spain that weekend. Everyone was out on the beach, out shopping, out doing stuff.
Yeah.
People weren't at home watching, so your viewing figures were going to be less. I think, for me, you always need to look at the audience share, because how people watch TV, how people watch sport is very different than what they used to watch 10 years ago when you only had four channels.
Yeah.
But you also got all your YouTube or your internet, etc. And you're not going to get the same kind of viewing figures. Yes, it was very disappointing. It was down on last year, but I think the weather played a part and they had a higher audience share. So I think I'd look at the positive in that angle. I think it was 65%, something like that. It was very high. Not a lot ITV can do about the weather.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought the coverage was good. I enjoyed it. And
a glass half full outlook from yourself.
We don't get
that too often.
I think it's good. It's working. Yes, obviously on ITV4, you're not going to get the same amount of viewers as what you'd get on a mainstream ITV channel 4. Although it does surprise me, because I'm not being funny. If you're going to watch a race in ITV4, is not that far up to the TV channel.
No, you're gonna find it, aren't you?
Not, and it's on Freeview, etc. Not many people have now just got your static TV, which has only got four channels. So I'm slightly surprised why the viewing figures don't actually move more. I do wonder if a few people just leave the TV on and that counts as a viewing figure.
Yes.
Because I'd say if you were that keen to watch the racing on a Saturday afternoon just because it's not on Channel 4, does not mean you're going to be unable to go to ITV4. So I do wonder a little bit about that. But the viewing figures are less, and that's disappointing, but it's just the way it is.
Okay, excellent stuff. That's the latest news stories taken care of then alongside Lingfield, and we'll move on to have a look at some of Sunday's racing. Not a bad day, all things considered, on Sunday. Cracking racing in Fairy House, a couple of grade ones on their card, and we've got decent action at Plumpton and Fosslass domestically as well. So we'll begin at Plumpton with the 3:45, the Sussex Champion Hurdle, over just shy of 2 miles. It's a class two with over 21 grand on offer to the winner. We've got a field of 11 down to contest this. Must admit, James, I've never come across the Sussex Champion Hurdle before.
Have you not the highly rated Sussex Champion Hurdle?
Has it been around for a while, the Sussex Champion Hurdle?
I think a couple of seasons. But the problem is that the ground's dried out so much. It's good to confirm. Jump horses, you don't really like risking them on too quick a ground. That's going to be a little bit of a concern.
Will they be sticking a bit of water on if it's...
Yeah, definitely be water in.
Yep.
And there's maybe a bit of rain around. But I'd be very surprised if all 11 that declared a run, if they get there, and it's a bit quick. Especially some nice horses that are in this race. They might just pull them out. But looking at the race itself, Paul Nichols basically has given up on the trainer championship. It's going to be too big a gap after the national meeting. But Tommy Silver, he's a classy individual at top weight. Good jockey booking Stan Shepherd, who is down to a £3 claim now, actually. Originally a £5 claim. He's just lost that very, very recently. But Tommy Silver could be a bit of a class above these. He's very interesting at top weight. Actually, to be fair, although he is top weight, the top five and a handicap are all separated by £2. So it's not that big a disadvantage, and they are classy horses. So Tommy Silver will be the one for me for Paul Nichols. Keep an eye on Rossetti, who is the Jersey champion hurdle winner.
Right.
So it's going a little bit up in grade, Jersey, yeah, Sussex. Yeah. But this one had a four-timer last summer. He's missed all his season, waiting for the better ground, which is what he's going to get at Plumpton. If he's fit and well, if he's backed, keep an eye on Noel Mulholland's representative. Rossetti could be very, very interesting. But Tommy Silver will be the selection for the Sussex champion hurdle.
Tommy Silver gets the nod then at Plumpton for James in the 3:45. We go to Foslas now for one of their premier races of the season, the West Wales National Handicap Chase over 3 miles and three furlongs. 15 grand on offer to the winner. Got a field of nine at the time of recording who have gathered for this one. And from the speedy hurdlers, we go to sustained chasers, James.
Yeah, I think this was a race that used to run in February time, and we had one or two finishers a few years ago. One refused, and there was
absolutely
only one left.
Bottomless in February.
They've moved it obviously to this time of year, and the ground's a lot better actually for Foslas. There's good soft in places, light rain forecast, unsurprisingly, because it tends to always rain at Foslas whenever you go. But the ground could be on the quick side for a few of them, because the interesting one is Orbison. Lizzie Kelly is back on board. Her brother's been riding him recently over hurdles, and it hasn't quite clicked, but he is very, very well handicapped now in old form. As we saw, Lizzie Kelly high in confidence after 2 for 2's win at Aintree, and back on a horse who actually got her first notice of a win at Cheltenham. I think it's a £7 claim in amateur a few years ago when she won on Orbison. He could be very interesting, but keep an eye on the ground, because he probably wouldn't want it too quick. Potter's Cross, there's a lot of pulled ups next to his name, and then Rebecca Curtis still isn't in the best of form, so that's a little bit of a concern. But on his day, he's got every chance and loads of course form. But I'm going to go for it as a likely race, Kim Bailey runner, Knock and Rawley, who hasn't had much racing this season, but was a good second 50 days ago. Cheekpiece is on, David Bass in the plate. In a race where lots of these are out of form, he is quite interesting. So Knock and Rawley is the one for me.
Knock and Rawley in the West Wales National then for James. We go across the Irish Sea now. It's taken a couple of races at Fairy House. We dealing with the Grade 1 races on the card, starting at 2:50 with a Grade 1 at Mares Novices Hurdle. 2.5 miles is the trip. Field of seven. Got a post at the time of recording. No surprise, James. WP Mullins responsible
for win the race.
Four runners. Gordon Elliott responsible for two of them. Obviously, the trainer's title is still up for grabs for these pair. It looks as though Gordon Elliott is going to be winning it, but Willie Mullins should be able to claw something back here, given the strong hand he's
got. Definitely. He's got a very, very strong hand. Let's Dance, obviously a winner at Cheltenham. The only one for poor Rich Ritchie. He had a real bad Cheltenham, and Let's Dance was the only one to actually get the job done.
I'm sure he'll live.
He'll bounce back. Yeah. But it was a disappointing season, but she's had a cracking year this year, been in really, really good form. And appears to be the number one of the William Mullins mares. But there's excuses against you. There was Early Beach, who had a brilliant season, unbeaten going to Cheltenham, but ran an absolute shocker, never figured at all. And there were a few William Mullins horses too disappointed, especially on the opening few days. So not all of them are quite 100%. So Early Beach could bounce back. And Augusta Kate, she's a horse that was coming to run a massive race when falling in a graded contest 2 starts back, and then ran against the Geldings when finishing sixth, behind Penhill, a stablemate who won. She's an unknown quantity because she's very, very small. I think back in a small field would suit. So I'm actually going to go for Augusta Kate. It could be overpriced just because of two form figures which are uninspiring, but question marks, or sorry, reasons for those performances.
Okay, Augusta Kate gets the nod then. I suppose the third string on jockey bookings.
Jockey bookings, yeah. But I definitely don't mind the man on board, Danny Mullins.
Yep. Absolutely. Augusta Kate, the selection then in the 2:50 at Fairy House. We go to the 4 o'clock at Fairy House then, which is the final race on the podcast today. The Ryanair Gold Cup, a novice's chase over 2.5 miles. Another Grade 1 prize on offer. Field of seven down to contest it, and it'll be all eyes on York Hill once again, James.
Can't oppose him, can you really? He's well clear on the ratings. Got £9 in hand. Very impressive when winning at Cheltenham. He's not an easy ride, but Ruby seems to get a job done on him nearly every single time, and he is the one for me at Fairy House, and he should have an excellent chance. All the others, obviously, Giggenstown, they've got a few there. Bulldark is interesting because Brian Cooper's actually gone for Rota Respect. Bulldark comes out slightly higher on the official ratings, but I'll probably go for Brian Cooper's choice there. Rota Respect is the one to chase home York Hill. Some plan will probably make the running, but he shouldn't be good enough, and I think York Hill's got an obvious chance of winning once again.
Okay. Can you win a Gold Cup, York Hill, in time?
Possibly. He keeps getting the job done. He's not a horse that I'm massively impressed with.
Yeah.
But results speak for themselves, to be fair.
Indeed. York Hill, the selection then in the 4 o'clock at Fairy House. Thank you, James. Just give us a quick recap, if you wouldn't mind, then, of your four selections for Sunday's racing.
I suppose I possibly can. At Fosse Lass in the 5:15, the West Wales National. I'm going to take a chance on Knock and Rorty, like the race this year, for Kim Bailey. It's a very, very tricky handicap chase. And then the grandly named Sussex Champion Hurdle at 3:45 at Plumpton. We've gone for top weight Tommy Silver for Paul Nichols and Stan Shepherd. And then at Fairy House, I think Willie Wellens is going to have a very, very good day. In the Mayor's Contest, though, we're going to go for Augusta Gate, who might be the third string of the yard. I think she's had excuses for her last two defeats. And then back on track with a favourite, York Hill, in the Ryanair Gold Cup.
Excellent stuff. There we are, then. Thoughts of James Millman on Sunday's racing. You can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35 p.m. with Alex Dunn, Rory Delaghi and Paddy Aspel in the studio for the action at Plumpton, Fosse Lass and Suddle domestically. And across the Irish Sea, we're racing at Fairy House and Cork. Hope you can join us for all of that. Thank you very much, James. Best of luck and enjoy the action.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.